Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Yes, I tell you, it is going to be this show. I know we got to take our time with this one because the looks of that topic, Professor Terry, that is serious.
Oh, it is. It is.
Isn't that? I tell you, boy, finding your purpose, wow. Oh, my God. So I know you got a lot to share. Welcome to those of you listening in today. This is a great day that you decided to tune in to the broadcast this morning. I'm telling you, there is so much rich information that is going to go out for this. And you know, Terry, we have now the Entrepreneurs Club. We have the
women,
you know, the event that you came to last year?
Yes, of course. I remember that. Oh, that was memorable.
I hope you're planning to come this year.
I do.
Because I want to put, it's the same weekend, so that's August the 24th. Get that on your calendar because we are starting to promote that already. And people have been calling for vendor tables. So it is going to be off. We're going to be back in Newark, not at that same location, but in a bigger spot.
Oh, great. Okay.
It'll be fantastic. Fantastic this year, I'm telling you. Over 80 people have already said they're coming.
Well, you can, and I'll be 81 then, because I'll definitely be there.
Well, you know, we have the Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs International Association now.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And pretty soon, shows like today, well, you'll have to get on, you have to become a member to hear the show. So
okay.
If they call in today live, they can hear it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This will move over to that website and to the only to those who are members. So you want to get in on this membership, and you want to get in now because it'll never be this low again. This is our introductory year. It only happened once in January 2013. So people want to sign up, but go ahead because this topic is hot, and I want you to get right into it and let us have it. It's awesome. Tell us all. Tell us about the book. Tell us what you think about it, and I just can't wait to hear.
Well, again, I thank you so much for the opportunity. And this is just so funny. You know, we're talking about August the 24th, and it's only January. I mean,
yeah.
But I think that, you know, we have to realize that, you know, life is such that if you are any person of destiny and purpose, you're always thinking, you know, a couple of years ahead. You know, we're thinking about things that have not happened, but our faith is telling us that it will happen. As a matter of fact, I have something happening in October. As a matter of fact, you're talking about destiny, you're talking about purpose, you're talking about calling. On October 11th, 12th, and 13th, I am presenting the first Christian Film Festival here in Raleigh.
Wow.
And, you know, it's going to be a big deal. And it's so funny, Lisa, because we sent out the call for you know, submissions. And we got three films. We got one from Tennessee, and we got two from Scotland. So already the film, the idea has become international, and it's called Churches Making Movies. As a matter of fact, go to our website, churchesmakingmovies.com, and find more about it.
I went there. Awesome.
Okay, great. Right, yeah. And so, I mean, again,
But you didn't get my movie.
Oh, okay. Well, we have to have your movie. We have to have your movie. Because it's so interesting, you know, Lisa, we talk about things that we want to do and we have to do. I don't know about you, but I tell you, you know, if it was up to me, someone else would be doing Churches Making Movies because it's a lot of work. But the thing is that I realize, and you realize as well, that if we don't do these things, they won't get done. Now, we don't do it by ourselves. I have partners. I have organizations that are behind me. But the thing is that I had to, I guess, probably, you know, throw the first stone, make the first ripple. And once you make these ripples, it spreads out, and you never know. So, again, you know, October 11, 12, and 13 is somewhat far away. But you know what? When you're moving toward your destiny, you start moving toward your calling, all these things fall into place. So, again, and I just want to tell listeners, you know, a lot of things that we are just giving out here over the air, I mean, you really need to get this right now because we're moving miles and miles beyond that. And I don't want anybody who we've been talking to for this broadcast to be left behind because it's all about being progressive. It's all about moving forward. You just can't stand still, not in this life anyway.
So true. So this, so today, you're talking about how to find your calling. Awesome.
Yes.
Tell us how you came up with that topic. How to find your calling. It says, are you looking for a life of passion, purpose, and joy? Well, go ahead. Tell us all about it.
All right, I'm going to start by really quoting our good friend, a gentleman that you introduced me to some time back. And I tell you, man, he's just been such a blessing to my life. Sometimes Dennis Kimbrough. I remember when you had him come into the conference in Newark, one of the first things he said, and I quote, the two best days in your life are the day you were born and the day you realize what you were born for. And so when we talk about finding your calling, it's really is about finding your destiny, finding the path. Because again, you know, as we go through our lives, we always ask our question, am I doing what I was born to do? And I know that you, Lisa, but I know for myself, you know, I feel really that finding your calling is a Christian obligation. God put us here for a reason. It is up to us to find out what that reason is. Your calling is never lost. We just may not be looking for it in the right place. And for me, I found that it is never outside of ourselves. It is always deep inside us, waiting to be brought out and given life through our prayer, through our meditation. And as we move through our lives, the signs are always around. I always say, pay attention to what you pay attention to. When I was a kid, I always loved movies. You know, you have to understand, my mother had me when she was 14 years old, and consequently, I spent a lot of time with her going to the movies. I was her movie buddy, and she brought me in to see a lot of different films, and I've always had an interest in filmmaking, but I never thought that I would be making films. I never thought that I would be putting out a film festival. But again, you have to understand that your gift, your destiny is always there. We just have to sort of activate it. And what I like to do is really make the distinction between our job and work, and then I want to give us seven things that we need to do to find our calling. And just, again, job and work. Our job is what we do in our 9-to-5, whatever that might be. And our work is what we were here to do. Our work is our calling. And really, if you can put your job and your calling together, that's beautiful. That's like a lot of friends of mine who are pastors and ministers, they're able to put that together. Their job and their work is one. For most of us, we have to work a job, and we're so busy with our job that we don't have time for our calling. We don't have time for our real work. But I think we have to make time. We have to really put forth that effort. And it might mean, you know, getting up a little earlier. I mean, I'm always up early. Sometimes I wake up at 5:00 in the morning, and I'm at the point where when I wake up, I get up because I know I'm being called to do something. So I want to just quickly share seven things, just seven statements, really, that we can respond to. I know time is limited, but I want to put these statements out. And again, it's from a book that I read recently called Following the Path, The Search for a Life of Passion, Purpose, and Joy. And this is by Joan Chittister. That's Chittister. Joan Chittister. And she's a very, very spiritual woman, and her book, Following the Path, is very inspirational. So again, this is from her book, and these are like seven statements that she says we need to keep in mind when we're looking for our passion, trying to find our passion, trying to find our calling. Number one, first, to find what we know to be our call in life, we must be looking for something that fits our skills, not something that fits someone else's ideas of what they would like to see us do. A lot of people have plans for us, but we have to have plans for ourselves. So, again, we have to find the thing that fits our skills, what we want to do, not what people see for us. Number two, a real call in life is for something that goes beyond interest or ability. A real call strikes white-hot passion in a person. I have no idea how to put a film festival together, but I've been reading. I've been taking notes. I've been studying other film festivals. As a matter of fact, my partner, Lavana, she, for many years, she actually put together a film festival in Atlanta. And so basically we're following that model. But again, a real call is for something that goes beyond interest or ability. A real call strikes white-hot passion in a person, and that's where I'm at. Number three, my call is what drives me beyond talent and passion to a sense of purpose, okay? Sense of purpose. This is something I intend to do. I intend to do this. Number four, my call presents itself as a thorn in my heart at the sight of another's pain. It stops life in its tracks. This is something that you are compelled to do. This is something that you have no choice about. Like I said, I wish somebody else would do this, but you know what? I find that I have to do it, which is okay. I take that responsibility, but it's always, you know, I want to see a film festival here in Raleigh. I wish somebody else would do it, but obviously they haven't stepped up, so I have to do it. So again, my call to itself is a thorn in my heart on the side of another's pain and stop life in its tracks, and it really makes me go on. Number five, when I'm following my call, I lose all sense of time. I am, as the athletes say, in the zone. In the zone. When I'm writing, I can write for 3, 4, 5 hours, and it just goes like 5 minutes because I'm just so much into that. So, again, I'm following my call. I lose all sense of time. I am, as athletes say, in the zone. Number six, when I discover my call in life, when I know in my heart where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do, I find that I am as much expanded whatever it is that I am doing as it is by me. Again, you give and you get. You know, your calling expands. And number seven, to become what I am born to do, what I am uniquely capable of doing, is in the end good for the soul as well as for the work. It changes me. Finding your calling transforms you and makes you the person that you are truly meant to be. And I find myself at age 62, really going to be 63 in August, I find that I have so much more energy now because I'm moving in on the path of my purpose, the path of my calling, and that energizes me. That makes me not want to take a rest or lay down and take naps or whatnot. Because again, I really feel I'm on fire. I'm really ready to do this. And the last thing that Joan says in her book, and I'm quoting from the last paragraph, she says, it is coming to the completion of our best selves. It is in following the magnet in our hearts that we become our whole selves. Then we will have come to fullness of life, to the finding of our best gifts, to being what we were meant to be, to finding the reason which we were born. Then, having followed the deepest inclination of our hearts, we will have discovered what life is really about. And that is surely the will of God for us. And again, I mean, finding our calling, I mean, I think that's the ultimate trip. I mean, it's the ultimate journey. I think we're here to find it. And when we find it, it's a beautiful thing because, again, it really keeps us alive. And the Bible says that, there will be room made for our gifts. And again, you know, you say you can't do this, you can't do that, but you find out as you do the things that you're called to do, so many things open up for you. And finding your calling is not easy, but it is so, so satisfying, especially as we move toward, you know, our 50s, our 60s, and getting into our 70s and 80s and realize that we still have work to do because the calling is never finished.
Mm. Wow. And so, yeah, you know, good stuff. So this is these seven things that someone can do to help them find their calling. Give us the title of that book again and the author.
Yes, great. It's called Following the Path, A Search for a Life of Passion, Purpose, and Joy. It's by Joan Chittister. And again, she is a very, very spiritual woman. She is a writer, you know, and they call her a religious leader.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, they call her Sister Joan. Okay. Mm. And again, I mean, you know, it's someone who, you know, she is a minister, but she always wanted to be a writer. And so now she combined the writing with her ministry, which is so beautiful. I mean, I think a lot of times, I remember when I was in one of my classes, I was teaching a class in Essex, and one of the students in my class was a prison chaplain. And he told me that, you know, my teaching was my ministry, and I never looked at it that way, you know, but he made me see things in a different light. So like I said, you got to really be careful what you pay attention to, because in that attention, you find yourself, I always like to go to the movies, I always like to read, I always like to write. In that attention, you'll find your calling because there's something inside you that's making you do that. And I'm telling you, writing is not easy, you know. Putting together the film festival is not easy. Putting together the conference that you're doing is not easy, but you feel compelled to do it. As a matter of fact, if you don't do it, you won't feel right. You won't feel well. And there are people waiting for that because they need it. They need what we have to do. And I believe that you and I are definitely following our calling. Because I tell you, Lisa, when I was growing up, I never imagined that I would be doing the things that I'm doing now. I just never saw it. You know, it was a stirring, but the way it played out is just unbelievable. And I know it's God. I know it's my destiny. I know it's my calling.
Yeah, I totally agree. Destiny, I know for myself, yes, realizing that, you know, when you have your destiny, it is calling you, and your destiny is something that you sometimes you just have to face facts that you have this awesome purpose in life. You may not know all the pieces of it. You may not, you know, and know exactly how it's going to unfold. And like someone, a speaker once told me, I can't think of his name right now, but he came to a group of students that we had at the college, and he, or a group of, actually a group of employees, down to Essex, and he told us that you have to let yourself evolve.
Oh, wow.
A lot of when you do something the first time, it doesn't feel comfortable. You may have doubts. It may not seem like your efforts are netting you that great of a result. But he said, just allow yourself to evolve. And ever since he told me that, that was back in 2002, never forgot, so 10 years, going on 11 years ago, never forgot that. And he came into my life, and he came to the college to see if, he came and actually he spoke at one of our Toastmasters meetings.
Oh, that's great.
I wanted to speak, and I gave him one of the things I always try to provide for people, Terry, is a platform for them to speak.
Yes, yes.
If I meet a particular person that has a gift for speaking or what have you, and they come to me and tell me that this is something they want to do, you know, I'll go out and build a conference around it.
Oh, that's great. That is so great.
Yes, things I do, whether it be this radio show, whether it be the women's conferences that I do, whether it be the Dr. Dennis Kimbrough event, when I met Dr. Kimbrough, I had no idea I would do an event called the Wealth Strategy Symposium. It was another event. I didn't have, you know, financial wealth, but I met Dr. Dennis Kimbrough at an event. I was amazed at his speech that I want you to come to Newark. He said, if you want me to come, I'll come. And I left there. I can find out when it was, but I don't remember the date. But I went, and in less than just a couple months, I went and pulled together this event, the Wealth Strategy Symposium, and had him as the keynote speaker. That's how that happened.
I remember that.
And I didn't know where this thing was going to happen. I didn't have any money, Terry. I was walking through Essex County College. I knew nothing about the Urban Issues Institute. I was just through the college. I normally never take that elevator by Training Inc. I usually take the first one.
Wow.
But, you know, something told me to go that way. Destiny called me down that road, and I look up and I see this big sign, Urban Issues Institute.
Wow.
And let me go inside and see if they are the ones who control the room there so I can see if I could, how much it would cost to use the room. I walk in, there's a young lady sitting at the desk, very pretty. I introduce myself. I told her that I wanted to find out about renting the room. She said, for what? I told her about the event with Dr. Kimbrough. She says, hold on a minute. She went in the back room. She came back out and says, the director would like to speak to you.
Oh, my goodness, what?
I walk in. I don't know who the director is. It was Sharp. It was Sharp James.
Oh, my goodness, wow.
He said, have a seat. I sat down. He said, what is this you want to do? I told him. I had nothing on paper, not a single thing.
Oh, that's a great story.
He said, he said, let's write it up. He said, we got to get it upstairs to the Board of Governors or whoever approves stuff. And altogether, the ticket was over $5,000. He said, we'll pay for the whole thing.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's God. That's God at work. I mean, you know, you're following your calling, you're following your destiny. And it's so funny because, you know, I had a similar experience. We have a new hotel in Raleigh called Hotel Indigo. It's a boutique hotel, 100 rooms. Make a long story short, me and LaVon, we wanted to have a host hotel. We wanted to have a hotel that would host our guests for our conference. You know, I went over there, and I'm getting ready to sign a contract where they're going to give us rooms at reduced rate, and then you're going to throw in a presidential suite for us for our planning. And I mean, you know, no money has changed hands. It's just that we promised them a certain amount of people who will be coming in for the conference. You know, it's so funny. A lot of people say, well, I can't do this, I can't do that because I don't have money. Sometimes the idea is worth more money than you can ever have. You know, the idea for the film festival, the idea for your event, you know, the idea was worth, it was a million-dollar idea, you know. And again, we have to understand, you know, if we just move on our dreams, you know, everything else will fall into place, but we got to move. You know, we just can't stand still. I mean, we can't say, I can't do this, I can't do that. Move ahead with it. Move in faith is what I'm saying. And it will all come together. So what you're saying, at least I can really relate to it because I see it every day in my life. You know, I don't let lack of money hold me back from anything, you know, because I believe that all the resources that we need are right there waiting for us. I truly believe that.
You know, and if you're on the phone lines this morning and you want to get in on this conversation, if you have a comment or a question, please just, you know, hit your number one key. We'll bring you in. If you have a question about your calling, your destiny, your purpose, if you found your calling, your destiny, or your purpose, and you have a unique story or that you'd like to share, we still have just a couple minutes, about 2.5 minutes altogether, but in radio time, that's a lot of time. So if you're on the phone line, hit your number one key. I will absolutely open up your phone line, and we'll hear from you. You got about another 20 seconds, and then we'll roll on with the broadcast this morning. But we're talking today about finding your calling, how to find your calling, how to find your purpose, your passion for what you are meant to be. Professor Terry has brought a book to us. He's given us 7 things that you should be doing if you want to truly live out your calling. And he was quoting from another speaker he had heard before who said, there's 2 great days in your life. The one day is when you are born, and the next day is when you find your purpose, which is really like a rebirth. You know, it's like really being reborn. So actually then there's 3. Okay, in that case, so we're born when we come to know Jesus. Some of us believe that, some of us don't. But for all those who do, you know what I'm talking about. And then we have this other day where you're born when you find your purpose. Because, you know, some people come to love the Lord, but guess what? They feel reborn, but they never find their purpose. That's right. Wick Warren wrote that book and was so popular for that book, The Purpose-Driven Life.
Yes, oh, I love that book. That was a milestone in my life. Yes, I remember that.
Because many people, even though they were believers of this or that, they still had not discovered their purpose.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I think what happens, a lot of people, you know, they're sort of stuck in the old theology where we were told, or many people believe, I don't think we ever told this, but a lot of people believe that, you know, you just really didn't do too much in this life because you were waiting for the afterlife, and so we really didn't push any ambitions because they were considered worldly, so we just sort of held back. But as we have grown and evolved, I believe that God wants us to do as much as we can in this life. You know, the reward after, you know, but I think this life, I think we're here for a purpose, you know.
Yeah, he did. He wrote 66 books, and only one of those books talks about the afterlife. So there you have it. And out of 66 books, only one talks about going. The rest talks about where we've been and what we need to be doing.
Wow.
And so that's
great.
That's where we're at right now. We know what we need to do. We only have about 2 seconds left. Terry, awesome, awesome topic as always. I was telling another professor about you. He should still be tuning in, but hopefully you'll come back and you'll catch him. He'll be on next Monday. We've changed the name of the show in case you didn't know. So welcome to the All About Entrepreneurs show. We changed the title of the show. I haven't changed the intro song yet, the intro announcement yet, but I will be doing that over the next couple of days. We've been super, super active. Working on about 19 projects at the given moment.
I know how that is.
some projects top priority. But those of you who know, please spread the word. Tell everyone you know about the show, the all-new show, all about the entrepreneur. And if there was any way to solidify what an entrepreneur ought to be about, is what you just said, Terry. An entrepreneur ought to know their purpose. If you're an entrepreneur and you don't know your purpose, that's a really big problem. So I'm so glad that we just changed the show this week. Yesterday was the first day. So yesterday I talked a little bit about, being an entrepreneur and what have you. So all this rest of the week we'll talk more about what an entrepreneur is, what they do. On Monday we have our special guest, Dr. Hayward Horton. He's going to come and give us some more tidbits about the entrepreneur. Also, just to let you all know that the shows will no longer, they will be on every morning, but shortly after that, they will move to our Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs International Association membership site. So if you want to be a member, right now you can get in for the very, very low rate. So go to the website, WLEI Association.wildapricot, just like the fruit, .org. If you didn't catch all of that, you can go to my website, or you can go to my Facebook page and you can inbox me and find out more about it. Again, have a wonderful day. Find your purpose, seek it, search it, pray for it, meditate about it, do whatever you need to do. And guess what? It's calling you. So maybe you just have to open up your ears, huh, Terry, and listen.
That's not that hard.
So we'll be sharing some more about that on tomorrow's show. We talk about entrepreneurs some more. It's all about the entrepreneur. All right, so Terry, have a great day at school. Everyone, have a great day. And whatever it is that God is giving you to do, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same place, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Professor Terry. Thank you, audience.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.